Dog Noodles and Hayes, talk to Jerry and Ray, go Chip Douglas in a pickup game and walk in 10K. Overdrive.
I like it. There we go, and you back it up with this.
Right into Metallica. An interesting curveball thrown there.
I like it.
Well, but I like that jingle. I'm a fan of the jingle.
I do, but Mulse wasn't going to let us start the show on that. He wanted to dig in a little bit. I'm fine with that.
I like the music first and then the jingle. I don't like the jingle off the hop.
No, you want...
I think if I was in my car and I heard that jingle, off.
Click? No way.
You're saying you wouldn't support the show anymore because of the jingle?
I want the music first. To say, okay, that's kind of cool music, and then they can be idiots after. And then I'll support it. I'm like, good tunes, idiots.
Yeah.
It's idiots off the hop. That's tough.
Well, I often wonder that. Like, how many people are tuning into the show for the first time without any indication of what we do, what we're all about, how long we've been doing the show? You know what I'm saying?
It's tough to catch up.
Yeah, sometimes I do wonder that. Maybe we're too inside the show. Like, we've got a lot of different things that have come up over the years that we continue to reference.
So we do inside jokes and people on the outside don't know what the hell we're talking about.
So should we be more inclusive?
We're trying. We're doing our best. The problem is we would get asked to leave if we let everyone know everything that we talk about. We wouldn't have a job anymore.
But that's off the air. That's via text and all that stuff.
Right.
We don't reference that stuff. Anyway, I mean, the average listener wouldn't know what's going on when the mics are off.
The Jeter thing yesterday, did anybody get any of that? The Jeter shower routine?
I never saw anybody tweet me with the info.
No, because apparently that's an inside joke with us. So we should stay away from stuff like that, because unless you know the Jeter post-shower routine, then nobody else gets the reference.
Yeah.
And we laugh at it.
But that's the thing, though. That is so inside. Like, only the three of us know it. I'm talking about Grit Grinder, Freddy the Goat, the Bartolo Cologne tracker. Like, if you've been on this roller coaster.
Jerry's.
You're familiar with it, right? If you listen every day or if you tune in from time to time, you're aware of these kind of things. But if you land in Toronto, you just moved here, and you're like, hey, let's check out this Toronto radio station, TSN 1050. I wonder what these guys in the afternoon are all about.
You would probably think we're nuts.
Probably.
But I think that's good.
I would just say give us some time.
Yeah.
Give us some time. Give us a week or two if you can.
We haven't circled back on, was it Alanis Morissette? No, not Alanis. What was the Black Velvet?
Alanna Miles.
We haven't circled back on people like that.
Yeah, we don't bring up Buffalo Bill as much. We used to have the Hyperbaric Chamber player of the game.
That was early.
That was a long time ago. That was 3 or 4 years ago, actually. Yeah. Someone sent me a tweet recently asking, you know, what happened to that bit? So maybe that guy left the country for 3 years, came back and was like, wait a minute, why aren't they doing the Hyperbaric Chamber player of the game?
It should.
We basically do it, but it's the Grit Grinder now.
Right.
And looking back on last night's game, I think Phil Kessel has to be awarded.
He would be the Hyperbaric Chamber player of the game.
Thanks.
I love Phil. And what I like about the fact that he scored the game winner is that we don't have to listen to any of the he's still a problem child narrative or hot takes, because I think he saved himself a little bit. When you score the goal after the meltdown and looking kind of childish on the bench, you become a lovable figure.
Right.
If you lose that game,
you become
then the
Mr. Intensity. You care about winning.
Right. As opposed to just being a pain in the ass.
Yeah. He does that in Toronto when they're down 5-1. They're like, this guy is a petulant child.
Well, and he's uncoachable, and he's a bad teammate, and the guys don't like him. And that's where all the narrative comes from.
Although the behavior by both of those players, Malkin and Kessel, it was ridiculous. We played, and he saw some and heard some things from Brett Hall on the bench. But when the guys that I played with, if they ever were like taping their stick in a room where there was a TV on in the intermission and they saw me on the bench doing that and they knew it was referring to them with a bad pass, you are for sure looking at a punch in the face.
It's probably different, though. Oh, you're right.
Or a man conversation that's very uncomfortable.
You're right. But you've told many stories, and I actually, to Gary Roberts' intensity, I mean, that's the type of stuff that he would do, but he would go out and back it up, and he'd try and drag you into the war, right? Like, that's what Robs would do.
Yeah. We had this kid on our team named David Tanabe, and he tried to make a pass, or Robs tried to make a pass to him, and he was at the end of a shift. And Tanabe slammed his stick on the ice and shook his head and came back to the bench. And I tried to save the kid. During the intermission, I looked at him and I said, if you ever do that again, you better be careful because that guy over there is going to punch you in the face. So watch yourself. You're a second-year player. Nobody really likes you. And for you to behave like that, you're going to have serious problems.
That's a little...
And I kind of felt bad. He started crying. Like, he was crying. And I actually don't care, but...
nobody likes you.
He was that guy. He was that guy. The spoiled American kid that was given everything, and he just thought he was God, and he made the team his first year, and he just turned into a monster, and it just had to happen.
Wasn't he from Hawaii? No, he's from Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota.
Interesting.
Those Minnesota guys really think they know the history of hockey, don't they?
Well, geez.
That's the hockey
dude.
State, and everyone it there is. Knows we, all the details.
A lot of great
stereotype.
A lot of great Minnesota players, but yeah,
I'm sure.
Just ask them.
There's a little bit of chip to them sometimes.
Well, sticks and stones.
Man.
They break my bones or a Roberts punch in the face, but apparently words can hurt David Tanabe because your honesty led to tears in the room.
Broke his heart.
That's a shame.
Either way, Phil Kessel put a show on last night. I know it's...
We got to get to the top, the behavior on the bench, though. Like,
you got to get through the middle. You could tell what he was saying.
If I'm here, you got
to
be there.
The puck to the middle. You can't go to the middle. Like, Ottawa was frustrating the hell out of them to the point where all of them were just losing their mind. I actually rewound it for Glenn and Kyle on the show at TH2N and Paul. Crosby was losing it, too. There was a time where he got missed with a pass, and he dropped an F-bomb, and I thought I read the words on the F and tape.
I think that's an important point to make, because you mentioned Gary Roberts and the tone that Roberts would set on your team.
Yeah.
Roberts would never do that to a teammate, so he wouldn't expect you to do it to him.
And Brian,
Crosby leads the way in Pittsburgh. He does it to his teammates all the time.
And there was talk a couple of years ago when they were struggling, they were getting beat out in the first round, that it was Geno Malkin and Sidney Crosby, and all practice, all he would do was, can you not put it on my tape? This is garbage. This is BS. And apparently that's been fixed, but...
Well, remember, I think it was earlier this year where it was spotted where Phil was...
Oh, Phil
yelling at Sid. And told him to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Remember?
Well, Phil was on the bench, and Sidney Crosby came up to the bench and said something to him. And then Phil flat out looked at him and said, what the F are you talking about?
Yeah.
Don't talk to me like that.
And the best part was, like, Phil was like really happy before Sid went by. Remember, he was smiling and giggling?
What the hell are you talking about?
And then Sid went by and said, like, snap out of it. Like,
or,
get
that
smile
off
your face. He's like, what the hell is your problem, Sid?
This guy's such an idiot here.
I think, you know, like Sullivan said last night after the game that they get a kick out of him.
They like it, but...
Well, he said they get a kick out of Phil, which is kind of condescending, almost like, look at this guy. He's such a goofball that we can't –
but
he's so funny, and we find his whole attitude to be funny.
I think he's kind of – but I also thought he alluded to that Phil constantly talks like that, like constantly like, hey, get that – like, I'll give you a little backstory on Brett Hull, because I compare Phil Kessel to Brett Hull on a lot of different parallels. Great shooter, good hockey IQ as far as getting available, that type of stuff. Brett Hull would literally in the dressing room say to Pierre Turgeon, Turge, you got to find me in that seam. And Turge would ask him a question like, but I saw a guy on your back. And Hull would say, if there's two guys on my back, it doesn't matter. I will still get the shot away. But that being said, there were times where Brett Hull was really honest about himself. It's like, guys, I don't have it tonight. Like, I'll try and get you the puck. Like, that was the one thing I always respected about Brett. And I don't know if Phil is like that, but he seems to be a guy who is really brutally honest, where he feels like garbage that night. He probably lets his line mates know, hey, I've got nothing in the tank here, and vice versa. Like, I'm feeling good. Get me the puck where I need it because I'm going to make something happen here. And I don't mind that to your point, Brian, if you back it up.
Well, and he did that last night, and I really do think he saved himself
right.
from the Ridicule. Petulant, yeah. childish conversation, because if you go out and score the game winner, and he had to fight through that, right? Like a block shot, and then he gets it off quick, and not many guys can get that off the way Phil did.
Yes.
And they end up winning the game, and all of a sudden, even though it was clearly a very frustrating two games for Pittsburgh,
right.
they're alive. And I said yesterday, and I still stand by the fact that I think the Penguins are going to win this series. Mm-hmm. But yesterday's game felt more like a must-win for Ottawa than it did Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And based on the way the game played out, I don't think that's actually true. I actually feel better about Ottawa today than I did going into the game yesterday, even with them losing, and for two reasons. One, the system they play is the Ryan Kesler of hockey systems. Yeah. It's so aggravating. It's so annoying. It is driving them insane, like to the point where they're yelling at each other like 12-year-old kids
yeah.
and kind of embarrassing themselves on camera. That's the first and foremost point. I think Ottawa has to feel pretty good about their system and how it's actually factoring into the series. And Justin Schultz might be hurt. Like he yeah. left the game. If he's out, that's
Daly
Letang
doesn't come back.
Letang, Daly, Schultz. That's three of your top four out.
Yeah.
Like at some point, well, that is going
is
to catch up.
This is the worst hot
you.
Take ever. But I think Game 3, one way or the other, it's going to be a blowout. It's like Sid and Gino and Phil are going to tee off on the Sens that kind of loosen up their system and want to put on a show at home. Or the Sens are going to say, you know what, we got to concentrate on scoring goals here and doing something offensively. And they could tee off on the Pens.
Well, I
just think it's been so close both of the first two games. Game 3 is going to be something different where one team is going to blow the other team out.
I'll go one step further. If I'm Ottawa and I'm looking at the defensive core led by Ron Hainsey, and Chad Ruedel, like, nice players, good guys, but let's be honest. Like, if you've got Ron Hainsey playing 22-plus minutes, like, you got a problem.
At the very least, I would suggest whoever comes out of the West is going to be the favorite
yeah.
if Schultz is done. If Schultz, Daly, and Letang clearly is done, if they're down three of their top four defensemen,
yeah,
I think you're looking at one of Nashville or Anaheim being the favorite going into the cup final. Because I think at some point that defense core, like, could you imagine the work Ryan Getzlaff and Ryan Kesler, what they are going to do to the 7, 8, 9 guys in the organization?
Yeah.
The guys who are not even top pairing guys in the American Hockey League are going to be stuck on the ice against him
yeah.
in a cup final. I mean,
well, Dumoulin played 26 minutes last night, Brian Dumoulin. Ruedel, 21-25. Olli Maatta, 22.5 minutes. Like, Hainsey, 24-49. Like, that's big minutes for guys who, you know, I think Dumoulin's a pretty solid player. I think Ruedel has a chance. But they're not, to your point, Schultz, Daly, or Letang. So that's where Ottawa, it'll be interesting for me because, I think Guy Boucher said to his group last night, we were that close to getting a second one, because didn't you feel before Phil scored that Ottawa was going to score a moldy one? Like, the Flowers laying in, he's in a lawn chair down there, and Pittsburgh really can't get anything going. There was a point in the game last night near the end of the second period where Pittsburgh had the puck in the offensive zone for over a minute. And they didn't get a shot on goal, and they didn't get to middle ice.
Malkin had it, was spinning around the corner.
And then Sid changed,
Crosby
yeah.
had it and was spinning around the
nothing.
Corner.
There was
and they
nothing.
Couldn't generate.
But to me, Guy Boucher is looking at that and saying, guys, like, if we continue this, we're going to get some goals here or there. We'll get a power play. We'll get something. Carlson had 6 shots on goal his first game. He only had 1 shot last night. Like, I believe that to where you were saying, Brian, like, Ottawa showed –
I think they
everyone,
have to feel pretty good
that
about
they're
themselves.
They're hanging around.
Clearly, Pittsburgh is really having a difficult time breaking through. And if you've done it through two games, why can't you continue for a couple of more? I mean, they still need 3 more wins against Pittsburgh, and that's not going to be easy. But we'll continue to look back on the game last night, tee up game 3 of the Nashville-Anaheim series. Some Maple Leaf news outside of what's going on at the World Hockey Championships, where Mitch Marner essentially was playing a video game in the first period. I mean, the highlight reel this guy was putting together just from the first 20 minutes was unbelievable. I think he's up to 11 points now. This is his seventh game. Nylander's got 10 points in seven games. The two of them are both, I think, top 7 or 8 in points in the tournament.
What kind of deal do you think Mitch Marner would sign in the KHL?
I don't know.
Would he get one of those Datsyuk, Kovalchuk monster deals?
I don't think so.
I don't think so because he's not Russian.
They love Russians. Yeah. That's the thing. Like, they
really?
Love, they value their Russian players more than anybody in the world. So Kovalchuk, Ovechkin, like Ovechkin would, it would just be a blank check. Here's a blank check. Just fill it out whatever you want.
Yeah, because the fans are all aware of them. Like, you got to remember, some guy in Moscow who's a hockey fan doesn't know who Mitch Marner is.
Right.
It's a difficult sales
talent
pitch.
Level. It's different, but I'm saying, just to your point, like, it's they love their Russian players and they want their guys to come home.
Well, Leaf fans are loving their Leaf players because these two kids are both 20 years old and they're lighting this tournament up. And the scary thing is, if you are opponents of the Maple Leafs in the Eastern Conference or the NHL for that matter, the best of the bunch is drinking margaritas in Scottsdale right now. Yeah. Like, he's not even over there.
Good.
Exactly. But can you imagine the damage that Matthews could be doing over there?
Yeah.
Like, this three-pack of kids, and I know we all have different stances on what they are and what they're going to turn into.
Right.
But
well, how many years have you, like, if Matthews was over there, how many years have we watched this tournament or kind of checked in on it and said, there's not even really any Maple Leaf talent over there?
Yeah.
Well, not a lot to be excited about.
Kevin Gibson sent out that note today, which really isn't that surprising when you think about it, but no Maple Leaf has ever scored a hat trick for Team Canada at the World Hockey Championships, the World Cup, the Olympics, any of that stuff.
Because they never...
They never have top players.
They never have.
They never have guys that go over there and play.
They never have guys get invited.
Exactly.
But that's the thing. The top guys either were near the end of their career, guys like Wendell and Dougie and those guys that wouldn't want to go.
Well, those two were still in their prime.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean,
and plus,
they
would be in the playoffs.
They were in the playoffs, and you're talking Canada Cup in 91. And
yeah. Here's the thing that
but
I...
But you just never see it happen, and that's the amazing thing. Marner, I mean, he could score a hat trick today. It'd be the first time a Maple Leaf has ever done that.
Selfishly, I still err on the side of caution. I like that they're getting the experience. I'm always terrified. The one thing I'm glad, and oh, you just said it, I'm glad that the kid, 34, is sitting in Phoenix right now drinking margaritas. Because God forbid you go through the, what was it, Edler?
Eric Staal blowing his knee out.
Like that just, it's garbage. And I know you can't bubble wrap them, but I would love these guys to be protected in a lot of different situations so that you're worried about dropping the puck in September.
Well, even with that being the case, I mean, the point is these two kids are lighting it up.
Yeah, for sure.
And they're making Leaf fans feel really good about what they have. And
yeah,
I was thinking about it earlier. I mean, considering what the Leafs have, when you look at where they are in this rebuild and what they have built around these three, is there a three-pack of players on another team that you would take over these three or that you would trade them for?
Klefbom, Draisaitl, and McDavid.
Yeah.
That's what I had written down. I swear I had.
Did you?
And
you
it's
had
interesting you went with Klefbom because I got McDavid and Draisaitl, and I thought, who's the third guy?
Yeah.
Like, it's not Eberle. It's not RNH.
No.
It's Klefbom.
It probably would
he's
be Klefbom. But, I mean, Crosby, Malkin, Letang healthy, you'd have to think about it, but they're at the end of the road, or at least approaching the end of their prime.
I'll tell you what, if you had to sit in a boardroom and somebody picked up a phone and they were on speakerphone and said, do you want McDavid, Klefbom, and Draisaitl? Honestly, who the hell's saying no to that? For anybody.
Yeah.
Matthews, Marner, Nylander is very enticing. Like, it's not... The Oilers wouldn't do that deal because of McDavid in particular.
I even said earlier in the year that I wouldn't trade Matthews for anybody. If Draisaitl 2 packaged in it, and Klefbom on the back end. Yeah. Like
that's the three. I grant you that. Those are the three I think I would make the deal for.
Scheifele, Laine, and Trouba.
I don't think I would do it.
For who?
Hang on a sec. If you were Brian
Lamorello.
Brian Lamorello, and you were in the boardroom, the phone rings, and it's
Jamie Cheveldayoff?
Yes. And the, no, it's Shirelli, Jamie Shirelli.
Mm-hmm.
And he says,
what the hell's going on here?
I don't know.
We want Matthews, Marner, and Nylander. We're giving you McDavid, Draisaitl, and Klefbom. You're actually going to say no?
Well, I'm saying no, I would make that deal.
Yes, he was talking about the Winnipeg
deal. I wouldn't do
deal.
The Winnipeg deal. Here's why, quickly. We'll get into this more throughout the afternoon.
What is the Winnipeg deal?
I just threw it out there. I said, and I he was talking about three packs.
Scheifele, Laine, and Trouba?
Scheifele, Laine, and Trouba would be a nice three pack. That's
you just
got to
come up with ridiculous trades.
Today. Well, but this is a good sign that Canadian teams have these kind of players
right.
available
Dude,
to them.
Dude, at least Toronto, we can even talk stupid like this.
Well, think about what it was years ago.
Yeah,
it was Bozy,
Antropov, Ponikarovsky.
Yeah,
okay,
well,
here's one to throw a wrench into.
I wouldn't do that Winnipeg deal.
Here's the one: Carlson, Hoffman, and Stone. Doesn't matter who the other two are.
No, I don't think so. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do it because the other two do matter. I mean, if you're
they
building
do, and
a team,
believe me, let's not. Mike Hoffman is almost a 30 goal scorer, and so is Mark Stone.
They're both outstanding players.
What
they,
about
they
if
are,
they
but.
Spruced it up with a first?
Threw a first in there? Maybe. NBA the draft lottery tonight. So we'll discuss that with Bobby Marks, NBA front office insider at the Vertical. Also, you look back on the Celtics getting past the Wizards. Game 2, Warriors, Spurs. Golden State is favored by 13.5 points tonight. Is that enough? We'll ask Bobby next. All right, Bobby Marks will join us here, NBA front office insider at the Vertical, looking ahead to the NBA draft lottery tonight, the best lottery in pro sports. Really, it's only the NBA and the NHL anyway, but with all these trades and some picks are protected, some are partially protected, some picks can be flipped, it's going to be a gong show tonight. So we'll tee up for the NBA draft lottery, look back on the Celtics win over the Wizards last night.
Are we allowed to ask him about the Kawhi Leonard play? Or no?
Absolutely.
I know how I'm going to ask the question. I'm sitting beside a guy that two-handed a guy across the back.
No, it was in front, but still, yeah.
Regardless.
Across the body.
He's suspended.
Still pending suspension.
So how bad was that play?
It was a soft call.
I think Popovich, if he was your coach... Yeah. He would have supported you. If he was the coach of the Red Wings, he would have hated your guts.
I can give you the behind the scenes, the conference call.
All right, save that for a little bit later because we got to get to Bobby Marks.
All right.
All right, we'll get to that in 2 minutes. Rick Reiner later in the hour, also known as the Hyperbaric Chamber Player of the Night. And if you're a new listener, then I guess Google it. You got to find out what we're talking about here.
Hyperbaric Chamber is one of the greatest devices ever created.
I would say you stayed in the league because of the Hyperbaric Chamber.
I was in my mid to late 20s when I was using that regularly.
After a big night, shake out the cobwebs and get back in the ice.
Instantaneously. It was great.
I need one of those. Like after the boys' weekends?
Yeah.
I need to rent a hyperbaric chamber before work.
Right in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be great.
Get after the chamber. All right, NBA draft lottery tonight. We know who is going to be in the Eastern Conference Final as well. Cleveland has the ability to destroy Boston. And then Cleveland will face Golden State in a couple of weeks. We all know the way this is going to play out. What we don't know is how the NBA draft lottery will play out. And to tee it up a little bit, we're joined now by NBA front office insider at the Vertical. Here is Bobby Marks. How you doing, Bobby?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're doing well. I'm looking forward to the draft lottery tonight. For me, it's got to be all about the Lakers, considering their situation. They've got to finish in the top three in order to keep their pick. They also, I believe, traded away a future pick, their first rounder in 2019. So if they end up dropping out of the top three, how screwed are the Lakers in the next 3 or 4 years?
They're in trouble. I mean, I think from a asset standpoint, if Paul George is your guy that you want to go after, either from a trade standpoint or free agency next summer, having two first-round picks, especially this year. I mean, this year's draft potentially could be one of the best we've seen here, and you would you'd lose that pick if it goes outside of the in 2019 goes unprotected goes to Orlando. So there's a lot of kind of dominoes in play here. There's a bunch of teams. I mean, you look at Sacramento, you look at Philadelphia, New Orleans tonight, but it all starts with the focus on the Lakers.
Well, Magic Johnson will be in attendance tonight, and Lakers fans are banking on this guy turning the organization around.
The Shanahan of the Lakers.
That's what they're hoping for. If they don't end up in the top three, and that pick goes to Philly, I believe it is, what can Magic possibly do outside of George, like you pointed out? Maybe they acquire Paul George, but beyond that, I mean, is the success and the future success of Magic Johnson basically tied to what happens tonight?
Well, it has a big part of it. And unfortunately, I mean, it's not his doing. You know, he inherits his team at the trade deadline here. So he basically inherits the former lottery picks here. But, it'll be interesting if they do fall out there because, you know, to acquire him, you basically going to have to gut it. You know, you're going to have to move some pieces. And, we all saw Denver in 2011 when they went through the Carmelo Anthony, saga. And I was part of a Nets team then that kind of went through with them and New York had to basically get that team here. So I would advise upon the Lakers if they do fall out of it, not to go down that road there, to kind of hold steady. You're going to continue to develop. This roster is not close to being a playoff team. I mean, even with a Paul George where the West is right now, can you maybe sneak in the back end? Yes, but you have to remember where Utah is, where Denver will probably be. Denver might be the Utah of this upcoming season here. We don't know where New Orleans is going to be. So, to kind of go swing for the fences on the Lakers, I would kind of hold off on that right now.
You just mentioned the word inherit. What is the chatter amongst NBA teams with Lonzo Ball and the idea of inheriting his dad along with him?
You know what? He doesn't bother them. You know, they're looking at it. I think you've got to have a strong management group and you've got to have a strong coach there. From being out in Chicago last week at the pre-draft camp, that issue with the dad doesn't seem to faze team. And it wouldn't faze me if I was still in the front office and everything. I think, but there is a point though where you're going to have a sit down with the father. You know, if it's Boston or Philly or Phoenix, one of these top three teams, if when you do bring him in for a draft visit or a meeting, or if maybe you're flying out to Los Angeles and meeting with the dad to kind of find out the personality of the dad. Is it the dad that we see, you know, the gimmick on TV, or is it the dad that's kind of behind the scenes that's developed three young men here?
With Bobby Marks, NBA front office insider at the Vertical. Game two tonight, Golden State, San Antonio. Vegas has this pegged at Warriors -13.5. That's presuming Kawhi Leonard will not play tonight. If Leonard is out, is 13.5 enough? Could you see the Warriors just blowing the doors off San Antonio tonight?
I could, you know, and I know what they did against Houston without Leonard in that game six, but this Golden State team is not Houston. I mean, the firepower on this team here with the four guys and then with the bench here. And, I think, even with Leonard out on, Sunday, they let a golden opportunity, go by. And I'm not expecting him to play here. I just don't know where the scoring is going to come from tonight. And it's not like this Golden State team is a one-dimensional. I mean, they play some pretty good defense there when you look at them from a efficiency rating. And, can you get a big night from Aldridge? I mean, you're relying on Aldridge, Gasol, Simmons, Patty Mills, Mono to kind of go back to 2003-04 Mono. I think you can do that against a far superior, less superior team, but to do that against Golden State tonight, I just don't see it.
You're dealing with a couple hockey guys here next to your host. The man to my left is currently suspended in the National Hockey League. He's 45 years old for two-handing a guy over the back.
It was a love tap.
Just explain to us the level of dirtiness on that play on Kawhi. What are your thoughts on it?
I think it was a foul. I don't think it was dirty. I mean, when you're in the moment, I don't see that there was intent to do that. I know what Coach Popovich kind of went off yesterday, and I think that's kind of a gamesmanship. It's almost like what, you know, the coach in Memphis did a month ago with the fouls there. I think, you know, is there a danger when you're kind of on a jump shooter if you kind of step underneath him and he lands on your ankle? Yeah, they call the foul on it. But, I was in New Jersey, and I saw Bruce Bowen do that a lot. And he did it against one of our players, Vince Carter, and Vince wound up getting thrown out of the game because of it. So, you know, I think there's far worse that goes on during the game. I think the illegal screens could be dirty, especially if you're extending an elbow there. But it was a foul. I didn't see it as a dirty play.
What are the chances Boston can even push Cleveland to 5 or 6 games? I mean, how do they stack up against the Cavs?
You know, it's funny. I talked to a couple of people out in Chicago during a combine, and the sense was that Cleveland would rather have played Boston, that they did not match well with Washington, with the Beal and Wall backcourt there. I think, you know, for Boston, it helps with home court. At least the first two games. I think if they were going to go on the road tomorrow, I think they'd be going into a dense nest here. But it's, you know, this Cleveland team is stacked right now. I mean, I don't see this rest really hurting them. It hasn't hurt them the first two series. I like how their bench has played. I like where Darren Williams is right now. I like where Korver and Fry and Chumper, you know, we're not even mentioning they've got the best player on the court with LeBron. So, you know, can you steal a game? I think tomorrow night will be critical. I mean, if Boston can somehow get game one, then maybe we can see an extended series. But if they lose that game, I think this is going to be a short series.
Thank you, Bobby. Always appreciate the insight.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Bobby Marks, NBA front office insider at The Vertical. On Twitter, at HayesTSN, Joel tweeting in, I'm not even streaming online, but I know exactly where Hayes' finger is, hovering over the flush button.
You were close. You were so close.
Tickling the button right there.
You hung strong.
You were just ready.
Thanks. And you were going to wave Joe off because Steph isn't behind the glass. She's been suspended for one day for her behavior yesterday.
Right.
So
start
Joe's
that rumor
behind
up.
The glass.
Al.
And Al. I don't even know where Al comes from. But you were waving him off.
Mm-hmm.
It was close.
Well, I guess I've got some support out there because Andrew tweeted in right after Joel and said, flush this call.
Really?
Because the reception wasn't great. But to be fair, it got a lot better. And Bobby Marks is a smart guy.
Yeah.
And tonight, like, the lotteries are always fun. We had this a couple of weeks ago with the NHL. But the NBA is on such a different level because of all the picks that get traded.
Yeah.
Like, Brooklyn was the worst team in the league. And they don't have their pick. They're going to flip it with Boston. Boston has the ability to flip picks. Now, Boston's going to have...
What was that, in the Pierce trade?
That was the Pierce-Garnett-Jason Terry trade, which was an abysmal trade in retrospect because it did nothing for Brooklyn.
It's
nothing.
Crazy.
And Boston, again, is through to the Eastern Conference Final, and there's a chance they end up with the first pick. But at worst, they get the fourth pick. And again, what is deemed the deepest draft in 12, 13 years.
That'd be great, though.
Oh,
imagine
if you're Boston.
Winning the Stanley Cup and having the first pick, too.
But the NHL, no one trades picks. No, yeah. It just doesn't happen. There's no ability to flip picks. And I understand the difference in the leagues because the NBA superstar players are worth so much more in the NBA because they factor into the success of a team so much more.
Right.
As great as Crosby is, he can't possibly have the impact LeBron can.
Right.
LeBron's going to go to 7 straight NBA finals.
You're
because he's LeBron.
That.
Yes. They're gonna
there's
smoke
not even a chance.
Boston.
There's not even a chance.
I don't see it happening.
Okay.
They're 8-0 through 2 rounds.
I know.
And look at what they just did to Toronto. And Boston and Toronto are on the same wavelength as far as I'm concerned.
But 9 days off, or what are they on to, 10 days off now?
They might be rusty out of the gate.
Has LeBron been spotted? Like, has anybody seen this guy anywhere? Like, he's not in a gym in Cleveland for the last 10 days.
I haven't seen anything. I haven't heard anything.
Like, people can find A-Rod in New York City with J-Lo. You can't find LeBron in Miami or somewhere.
Maybe he's so focused, he's so locked in, he's just going to the gym and home.
Could you imagine?
Isn't that what you want? If you're a Cavaliers fan, this guy to be so focused right now.
Scary.
It is scary. -13.5 the Warriors are favored tonight. And I'm not sure Vegas is giving them enough respect. Vegas is saying if you want the Warriors tonight, you have to believe that they're going to win by 14+. And I'll bet you a lot of money comes in on Golden State.
Would you put
tons?
Would you put 50 bucks down?
I would bet on them. I wouldn't bet on San Antonio to cover. I think they might blow the doors off San Antonio tonight.
Really?
Like the Spurs.
I totally agree. I'm not even a gambler. Do you have anybody you can lay some money with?
Like Tony the Greek or something like that? Jimmy the Greek? Yeah, we can find a guy.
Joe Colombo, the guy on Long Island.
Do you have to know a guy, not find a guy?
No, I know a guy. We'll talk. We'll figure it out. I know a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy.
Joe Narsa probably knows somebody.
Joe might.
Yeah.
We'll talk to Joe. We'll see if he's got any
connections in the underworld.
We'll get to the Grit Grinder. Brendan Bell will join us, former Leaf, former Sen, big part of the Sens broadcast on TSN Radio in Ottawa. He'll join us at around 5:10. Bobby Mack coming up. And we'll get into our Maple Leaf hypotheticals again. Yes. How many three-packs around the league would you trade Matthews, Marner, Nylander for? A lot more people are sending in different ideas that at least make you think.
We'll get to them, and we'll discuss them at length.
Absolutely. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app. The Maple Leafs made a couple of signings out of Sweden. We'll tell you about that to kick off the 5 p.m. hour. We'll look back on the Pens 1-0 win over Ottawa. Again, people continue to complain about the way Ottawa is playing. And even though they lost last night, I think it was an effective loss because they proved they are getting inside the heads of the Pittsburgh Penguins.
And the funny thing for me is the people who actually on Twitter complain about it, like, oh, the 1-3-1 is so boring. You don't play a 1-3-1 in the defensive zone. You don't play a 1-3-1 in the offensive zone. All it is a neutral zone in directive, really, where you try and direct the puck. So it's not Ottawa playing the boring 1-3-1. It's only in one zone. So in the defensive zone, what they do is have a very good systematic play. You can't get to the middle of the ice. They block a lot of shots. That's how Pittsburgh won the Cup last year, on skill, getting out of their zone, and they blocked over 30 shots a game. People forget about that.
You guys don't agree with my assessment? The next game's going to be a blowout one way or the other?
I'm not there
yet. I just don't think you can continue that nonsense.
I think goals will be scored at some point, at the very least. We've had a 2-1 game and a 1-0 game? We've had 4 goals in 2 games?
See, I'm smelling a 5-0.
Really?
Which way? Are you thinking Pitt?
That I can't tell you yet.
You're still trying to figure that one out.
You'll be in the building.
I just think the doors are going to be blown off for one team.
You have to think that Crosby's going to get going as far as
him and Gensel had like 5 opportunities yesterday.
Right.
Malkin could tee off.
If
Carlson could tee off. Turris, Stone, those guys could get going. Hoffman.
If they bury some of those chances that were generated, there will be a higher score. Craig Anderson made some great saves, too. Let's not forget him. And the Flower made 3 big saves in the first period. He didn't have much after that.
Anything the final 2 periods.
No.
Nothing.
But the first period, he was actually pretty good. Ottawa, I believe, outshot them 10-7.
It felt like a Marty Brodeur 1995 type of game for him.
Yeah.
1-0,
He made a good save with 30 seconds left on Hoffman on the back door.
That's what you got to do. Make your 2 or 3 massive stops, and it's like, wow, what a game, and then be routine for the rest of it, and we'll take care of business.
Exactly.
Brendan Bell will join us from the Ottawa Senators pre- and post-game show on TSN Radio in Ottawa. We'll also get back into the NBA draft lottery tonight. And our boy Bartolo Colon
had himself a night.
He pitched well enough to win last night, so I guess you got to give him credit. We'll look back on that as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app.